This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Next week, of course, a lot of people will be off celebrating 4th of July. Hard to believe, right, that we're turning the corner on the midway point of the year. And, oh, what a year it has been. Hey, everybody. Hope you are safe and sound wherever you hail from listening to this show. Great to have you on board with us. Remember, you can always let your opinions fly. Not like they probably aren't already near your virtual water cooler, but you can hit us up at kate@katedelaneyradio.com. And we do a heavy, heavy mailbag segment every single show. And so much of the mailbag is filled with people who are unhappy. People coming out of the pandemic and furious with the government for various reasons and their representatives and what's happening in the country. Then Supreme Court decisions, thumbs up, thumbs down, lots of opinions on that. Nobody's happy about the price of gas, even when it goes down slightly. And people who have been traveling hate the airlines for the most part. And if they like the airline they've traveled on, they tell everybody and spread the word as fast as possible. So we do live in a world that is, I say, opposite day, at least a couple of days a week. And speaking of opposite day, some of the things that are on my radar, and I'm sure on your radar too, is looking at what, you know, we can't forget what is happening in Ukraine, and we focused a lot on that. We had guests on who were there in Ukraine, my pal Greg Stebbin and Mark Lindquist, who still is there and is helping children and helping people who are struggling in the cities, who are dodging Russian attacks and barely getting across a border somewhere safe. And this has now been going on since February, and you're listening to what people are talking about. There was a it's like the everyday life has, of course, ceased to exist in many of the places there in that country. And now there's conversation about what happened when a mall was hit. And what was that like when 13 people are killed in a missile strike on a shopping mall, just running to a shopping mall? There is no running and dodging and having a normal life. And it does affect all of us, because it has certainly affected us financially. We're seeing the struggles with inflation that has really hit Europe and other countries worse, but certainly it is part of our struggle, and then part of what we're seeing when it comes to, like, food prices. I mean, there are nations that are struggling completely with hunger because of it, African nations. But in the U.S., the impact, part of the impact, is higher prices. It's just a little piece of it, but it's a substantial piece. So you do say to yourself, oh, that's right, we have the G7 leaders who are prepping new aid for Ukraine. And what does that mean? What is the United States going to be a part of here? And the U.S., of course, is announcing the purchase of an advanced surface-to-air missile system for Kyiv to help that country fight against Vladimir Putin's aggression. And there's more efforts by this group of seven leaders to punish Moscow. And Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is worried that the West has become fatigued, which is why I brought it up here at the top, because we are fatigued by what is happening in our country, by the cost of a war that's contributing to soaring energy costs and price hikes on goods around the world. So that's one of the things that he told leaders, that it's not a time for negotiation with Russia because he needs to be in a stronger position first. Said he says that he will negotiate when he's in the position to do so. And the goal is to end the war as quickly as possible and get out of it in the best possible position to negotiate from a position of strength. But in listening to that, is there a scenario where you think Putin is willing to negotiate, or does this just continue the searching for ways to go after different ports, different areas in Ukraine? So the largest democratic economies, which includes the United States, raising taxes, tariffs on Russian imports to their countries. The U.S. announced new tariffs on 570 categories of goods, as well as the use of sanctions to target the defense supply chains that support its efforts to rearm during the war. So that's another place where the U.S. is hitting Russia. And isn't it interesting? Biden is expected to announce soon that we're getting that Norwegian developed anti-aircraft system that provides medium to long range defense, and that it's the same system that is used by the U.S. to protect sensitive airspace around the White House and the Capitol in Washington. So that's pretty big. And then there is $7.5 billion that's committed to helping the government meet, Ukraine's government meet its expenses as part of a drawdown of the $40 billion military and economic aid package signed into law last month. So we, my friends, are in this, invested in this economically and in other ways, both economically and what happens for Ukraine and for us in the United States. And obviously our allies are too. That's why they're at the table and they're trying to hammer all of this out. I mean, grain especially is getting just crushed. And when you look at Europe, that's where they're really, really, really getting hit big, 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 big time. So the G7 is not splintering. And in this case, it's a good thing because we are right smack dab in the middle of it. Oh, right in the middle of it. All right. The other thing that I mentioned at the top, too, it's people are warning of economic advisor types, are warning of looking at your money or lack of money and thinking, are we going into any kind of a recession? I mean, that is just a dirty word, recession, right? And so what kind of relief can we get heading up to that? And some of the conversation is about, well, at least let's get a gas tax rebate. Let's do something with that. And in California, that's what they're doing. To get inflation relief, they're getting gas tax rebate checks, actually getting checks. So what would your check look like if you got one in the mail? Ooh. Think about it. California, $7 a gallon. Insane.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller, lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
In the Key of Life. I love that title, and the cover of the book is fabulous. When you go onto Amazon, you can see it. And we're speaking with the author, David L. Dollison, Sr. David, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about why this book. What made you write this book?
My mother-in-law had encouraged me for years to write it, and my two sons, we would be talking, you know what I'm saying? And I'd tell them, say, if you wrote this down anywhere, you should. Put it in a book. And so after much encouraging, I finally took on the task and I wrote it. What I mean, and that was my reason for writing it, really.
And when you sat down to write it, did it just kind of pour out of you because you know it so well?
Yes, it's not hard to write something. I mean, when you're pulling from, you know, life experiences, and I've had a few in my 70 years of life. So
I love that, in your 70 years of life. So tell the listeners what the book's about. What can they expect? Give us some stories from the book.
Well, basically, I start out writing about myself because that's where my experiences come from, and I know myself better than anyone else does. So I just say a little bit about me, where I was born, how I grew up, and that's the first section of the book. In the second section, I wrote the Psalms, the poems that are in the back section of the book. And those poems are people that had a positive impact on me. And, you know, hopefully the people will enjoy the poems that I wrote and in the book. And we all have those stories. Some people can pull it out of themselves and put it on paper. Some people can talk about their life situations, what I mean. And I just happen to be fortunate enough to be able to write about mine.
Wow. And, you know, you sit there and you think about it, and you think about life, and you think about, well, what's the objective, and what do you hope people who are listening to our conversation take away from reading your book? What do you hope somebody, they hear us and they say, well, that sounds interesting, and they get it. What do you hope they take away?
Well, actually, a couple of things. Most importantly, that, you know what I'm saying, everybody has a story, and they may all be different, but even in the differences, there are similarities, and where my particular situation may not mirror yours, you may have some situations that are similar. What I mean, all our stories will have similarities to them, and that's my hope, what I mean, that people will, you know, read the book and write about themselves. What I mean, there's so much treasure that each of us have. And, you know, there's certain things that I can do and certain things you can do. What I mean, and maybe it will draw that out of them reading about my experience and encourage them to write about their life experience, because everybody has a special story to tell.
Boy, isn't that true. And do you think the world would be a better place if people realize that they're so hard on themselves?
Yeah. Ooh, mercy. Sometimes we can be our own worst critic, what I mean, because we all have a tendency to try to compare ourselves with this one or that one, you know what I'm saying? But even though you may like something that I can do, I'm sure there's something you can do that I would like, you know, and hopefully, you know, people will realize that about themselves and keep a journal, or, you know, even if they don't publish it, write about the significant events that they've experienced in life, and they will happen if you just pay attention to them, you know, and put it down.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. You know, someone else might benefit from it.
Yeah, so true. So after this experience of doing this book, Psalms in the Key of Life, will you do another one?
I've toyed with the idea, you know, but I haven't really made a decision on it yet. What I mean, I felt good after, you know, writing Psalms in the Key of Life. And, you know, as far as a continuation, my children weren't satisfied. Oh, there's much more than this. But they've been around me all their lives, you know what I'm saying? So.
Right, right. And coming up with the title, why the title? I mentioned how I really like the book, which people can get on Amazon. Why the title Psalms in the Key of Life?
Well, I write, or I did write, inspirational poetry before I moved to about 100 miles from where I was for a long period of time. And I looked up the word Psalms, and it said spiritual writings, and it just, you know, it just, oh, wow. And the main reason I wrote most of the poetry that you read in that book is because of the people that I was around in church. And like I say, they made an impact on me. And that was my way of, you know, letting the world know that, you know, hey, I saw this, and I'm sure everybody sees things that, you know what I'm saying, if they pay attention to, would be a benefit to someone else.
Boy.
You know, and
yeah.
So.
Isn't that the truth? What a great conversation. And again, people can get your book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those great places, Psalms in the Key of Life. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Couple of minutes left in this segment, something I mentioned that is being talked about a lot when you talk about Russia. WNBA basketball star Brittany Grenier is going to be in a Russian court in a couple of days on Friday. The former Phoenix Mercury star ordered to stand trial could face 10 years in prison if convicted on charges of large-scale transportation of drugs. Boy, she looks awful, shackled and very, very run down. We'll see what happens. She was caught with cannabis as she was leaving the country. And as I mentioned, the 10 years in prison, if convicted, fewer than 1% of defendants in Russian criminal cases are acquitted. And unlike in the U.S., acquittals can be overturned. But at Monday's closed-door preliminary hearing at the court in one of Moscow's suburbs, rather, her detention was extended for another 6 months. So there was a photo that was released. She's in handcuffs. She's looking straight ahead. This is at a crazy time with obviously no relation, lousy relations between Moscow and Washington. She was arrested at the airport less than a week before Russia sent troops into Ukraine, which, of course, just aggravates the tension already with the sanctions by the U.S. and Russia's denunciation of U.S. weapon supplies to Ukraine. So she's, I guess, taking a low profile in hopes of some sort of a quiet resolution, although it was in May when that changed, when the State Department reclassified her as wrongfully detained and shifted oversight of her case to the Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs. That's where this is. So there are lots of pleas to President Biden to secure her release, because people are saying she's a political pawn, but they want to swap, perhaps. Russian news media keeps raising speculation that she could be swapped for a Russian arms trader, Viktor Bout, named the Merchant of Death, who's serving a 25-year sentence on conviction of conspiracy to kill U.S. citizens and providing aid to a terrorist organization. Keep your eyes on this one. This is frightening to see what's happening here.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News. Three people are dead and dozens are injured after an Amtrak train derailed after hitting a dump truck in Missouri. Governor Michael Parson.
It's very unfortunate anytime you have a derailment of a train and multiple cars. It's not a good day.
Seven cars have derailed. There are multiple injuries, and we can confirm there are three fatalities, two on the train and one in the dump truck.
The National Transportation Safety Board said it is launching a 14-member GO team to investigate the crash. The train originated from Los Angeles and was on its way to Chicago. This comes one day after an Amtrak train collided with a car in California, killing three people. At least 42 migrants have been found dead in a tractor trailer in southwest San Antonio, Texas. The investigation is ongoing. This is USA Radio News. Flights continue to be canceled.
Flight cancellations are soaring with no signs of letting up. This ahead of the July 4th holiday weekend when the TSA is expecting 11 million passengers to fly. The federal government and the airlines are blaming each other for the issues. The FAA threatened action against the airlines if they can't meet consumer protection standards, while the airlines say the FAA has not properly staffed air traffic control centers. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A three-year-old boy has died after he was left in a hot car in Columbus, Georgia. Officials believe the boy had been in the car for about 2 hours and 45 minutes. This marks the seventh child to die in a hot car in the U.S. this year. This is all according to the national nonprofit KidsInCars.org. This is USA Radio News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information, or instant payment. Email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Talk to Matthew Gorge, our friend, than now. He is the founder and CEO of VigiTrust. He is the author of the book, The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom, and he's got these brilliant five pillars of security framework, cyber accountability, and he and I have talked about that a lot. Never a better time to talk to him because of so many things that have been happening in the world and how secure are you and how secure is your company. Hey, Matthew, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, how are you? Very nice to be here again. Thank you for the opportunity.
And thanks for joining us from Dublin, which is where one of your offices is.
That's correct, yeah. Dublin, New York, and Paris, but today it's Dublin.
And you actually, with all the, I mean, VigiTrust, congratulations on this. It's been like 20 years. How many countries are you in? I think it's like 120, right?
Yeah, so we've got users in 120 countries. We've just entered our 20th year. As you can imagine, over the last 20 years, things have changed dramatically. Like 20 years ago, it was all about protecting the networks. Then it went into network security, content security, data protection, privacy, and today we have like cloud applications, remote working at post-pandemic, and of course we've got ransomware, which is rampant. And so the risk surface has changed dramatically, and the attack vectors have increased. And so, you know, as a CISO, it's a lonely job because you need to get it right all the time, whereas the attackers only need to get it right once.
Yeah, and speaking of attackers, something that has been talked about, especially the last couple of days, is what's been happening with Russia and the Ukraine and, of course, NATO and et cetera. It's not about the politics. We could leave that aside for a second, but it's about perhaps cyber attacks, because that's been suggested that you might see more of that emanating out of Russia, but very tough to track that, right?
It's extremely tough to track, you know, and even if a nation state, be it Russia or another country, claims responsibility for an attack, there's no 100% way of being able to demonstrate that it was them. And even if there is, from a political perspective, it's a very delicate thing to do. Even when you look at generic attacks and you try to find the perpetrators, if you're finding the origin of the attack in a different nation, it's going to take a while before you can actually get the police forces to get the right information locally in order to get them. So what's happening right now is that kind of, if you look back years ago, maybe decades ago when there was a war, you were only doing the war on three domains, right? So it was land, air, and water. And today it's also cyber. But unlike land and air and in water, it's very hard to define where that cyber surface stops and where it might end from an attack perspective. What we do know, however, and that's 100% sure, is that as a nation state, if you wanna have a very effective attack, you would want to do a two-pronged attack. So you would do a physical attack with a cyber attack. Whether you do the cyber attack just before the physical attack or after really depends, and you might do both. So you might use a cyber attack to weaken the critical infrastructure of a country, especially access to communications, access to defense forces, access to water, access to health services. You weaken that before you launch the physical attack. And as people are scrambling to essentially respond, the first responders, they don't have access to all the data and all the tools that they normally would have. Or you do it the other way around. And so, it you know, those cyber attacks and that attack surface, it's being monitored on a continuous basis by the attackers. They're trying to find your vulnerabilities way ahead of the physical attack.
Wow. All right, we'll see what happens, but definitely time to watch for that happening in all different aspects of our lives, including what happens when you have a smart house. You know, we're talking about smart homes, and what happens with what you've got digitally going on. How vulnerable are you there? Because I think people don't really think about it, but now they're starting to see that that's happening.
Well, absolutely. The same way as I was talking about the nation's critical infrastructure, where everything is connected, today in your house, everything is connected. So whereas 5 years ago, you would have had maybe five devices per family that would be connected. Today, you might have 40, 50 different devices and some devices that you forgot you connected to your home network. So your own risk surface has increased dramatically as well. But because you're not necessarily a security expert or you're a very trusting person, you're kind of thinking about the advantages, the features that those connected objects give you, as opposed to thinking about how is that impacting my life? And so one of the things that, you know, listeners should think about is that the attacks are becoming much more personal. So if we attack, say, Colonial Pipeline, or if we attack a food provider, like was the case in the U.S. last year, or we attack the health service executive in Ireland, it sounds like it's a group of hackers hacking a government or hacking a big company. But the reality is slightly different, because they're hacking those enterprises, so to speak, or those networks. And that directly impacts on your ability as a person to get access to health services, to banking, to food, to energy. And so you wake up one morning, there's no electricity, there's no water, you're sick, and there's no emergency services. So what we need to understand as a people is that we need to work together to protect our own infrastructure at home. So I often talk about protecting your own personal critical infrastructure. Right, so your personal infrastructure is like your connected door, your connected car, your connected kettle, your connected fridge, your connected systems that may even send an automatic order when you run out of certain items at home. And so you need to protect all of that because you're at risk as well. The good news is that it's not really rocket science to protect it.
Right. And so how do you do that? I mean, obviously passwords is one thing. I think sometimes people make easy passwords or they get stuck on that. And then that's an easy thing to crack.
Yeah. I mean, too often we see that passwords are actually passwords or password one, password two, or it's your date of birth or it's your pet's name or whatever. I think that the you know, multi-factor authentication is something that's freely available for most good applications, and so you should use it. And also you need to look at the systems that you plug in, and generally speaking, when you go into settings, you'll find a security tab, and you can actually turn off all the services that you don't need. Even on an iPhone, there's a lot of services that are turned on by default. And it's because they want you to use applications, but you may not need all of this. Why leave a door open when you don't need it open? Because eventually it's going to slam, or there's going to be a draft coming into your house. Well, it's the same analogy, you know, for your critical infrastructure. And the other thing you can do is you can use managed service providers for personal infrastructure. There's a good few of them at the moment, especially in the US. They cost a few dollars per month, and they manage all of that security. And if there's something wrong, they send you an alert, and you can decide what you want to do.
All right. That's a great suggestion. And, you know, we're only a couple of months into 2022. What else do you fear, or what do you see as you look at this year and then even bouncing out into the end of the year and into next year as what's so critical when it comes to cybersecurity?
So I think that we're going to see a lot more ransomware this year, because unfortunately, whilst the ransomware software itself is not necessarily very advanced, or even when it's advanced, it only gets in because we as humans make mistakes. So we click on the wrong phishing email. We are seeing a huge increase in the last couple of months in SMS, so phone-based, message-based attacks. And they're very easy to spoof and very hard for Joe Public to see them. I do think we're going to see a lot more attacks on major infrastructure, primarily in health, so health systems, hospitals, and in transportation, disruption to major airports and that type of stuff. But I also think that we're going to see attacks on C-level people and the board. And we're seeing it every year. We're seeing it going up. And whilst every year we're seeing more and more boards getting the right education level around cyber accountability, it's still increasing. And so I think we really need to have our key decision makers, and especially in mission critical enterprises, to understand their responsibility towards their consumers and towards the general public. And that goes as well for semi-state and organizations, government organizations that are providing services to the public. I mean, certainly anybody that's taking credit card payments for parking enforcement or, you know, for a license plate or whatever, That should be by default PCI compliant, and if it's not, there should be an alert that goes up. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Matthew George, always great to talk to you again. His book, you can get it. It's wonderful. The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom. He is the founder of VigiTrust. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thank you. Appreciate it.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We go to Kampala, Uganda for a conversation with Timothy Ettore. He's written a collection of his poems, actually, that are so inspiring. He's written this book, pulled it together, Visions of Glory. Timothy, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
So one of the things that's interesting, one of the many things that's interesting about you, and I think that some of the listeners can relate to, is you have this big job. I mean, you're an accountant, and we know accountants are numbers people. There's always lots of pressure at certain times of the year. So how does an accountant end up with such a full heart in writing these inspiring poems? That has to be a great escape for you, is it?
Yes, it is. Mostly on weekends, I leave the city and go to the botanical gardens next to the freshwater lake in Entebbe. And then I spend the day there reflecting, looking at the trees, the flowers, listening to the birds, praying a little bit, reading the Bible. And it's a different world. It's like being suspended in time. And then there's that magic and the inspiration and the thoughts. And you put all these emotions on the parchment, on paper.
Did you always know that you had this gift of taking words and so eloquently pulling them together and putting together special poems? Was this something that you did since you were younger, since you were a kid?
Oh, yes. When I was a child, right in primary school, quite young, I always enjoyed writing compositions. So English composition was one of my favorite subjects, and I scored well in that. And I also enjoyed other classes where I would be involved in creating, like the art, whether it was painting or it was making sculptures from clay. And I was good at it, and I scored highly. So this was a world which I understood and I loved.
And, you know, you loved it so much that obviously it came across in your work, because your poems have been published in the national newspaper, and the circulation is quite high, you know, 30,000 or more. That had to be something to have that happen.
Yes, they started a poetry corner, and then they invited poems from the public. And what I did is I submitted poems, and to my surprise, they started producing my poems, and the circulation of this paper and the Sunday Vision at that time, it was a while back, was quite high. It was like 30,000. So, you know, I began to get calls from friends and family and saying, wow, we saw your poem in the newspapers. Wow. And so, you know, this encouraged me to say, well, maybe I have a talent here. I think I'll continue writing, and since I enjoy it and other people enjoy it, let me see what happens.
And now it leads us to Visions of Glory. What was it like pulling that all together and deciding what poems should be included? Was it fun, the process?
Yes, actually these poems, typically a poem may take like 2 weeks or so to write, and these poems just accumulated over the years, and so I ended up with these 100 poems which I had written over time. Some of them had appeared in the newspapers, and so I began to arrange them and to categorize them, and I ended up with this book of 102 poems, and yeah, so it covers a wide range of experience, from love, bereavement, debt, political turbulence, because I went through all of these things in my life, you know.
Yeah, and that's what the book is about, lots of different inspirations, lots of things that have happened to you. Give us, if you would, you and I talked off the air and you had some, I mean, the book is filled with all kinds of poems, but we picked out a few of them, and one of them is called Strange. Would you recite that one for us? I think people listening would like to hear that.
Oh, yes. Let me recite this poem, Strange. Strange, how love, latent, hidden, has burst forth more intensely, more beautifully, now that you are not here. Strange that I can remember so many little things about you. Things I could never see when you are here. Strange that feelings I could never hold burn in my heart today.
Wow. Well done. And we take you from, we take the listeners that are hearing this, from Strange to something completely different. There was another one, and you could have picked out any of them. I mean, all of them are little gems, but there's another one that takes a different turn. Do that for us, if you would.
Yes, this is a poem called Cycles, and the seed scripture is Ecclesiastes 1:9 from the Bible that says, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and there's nothing new under the sun. And from that seed, I wrote this poem. An aging, tired world, round and burning orbis world, spinning in an eternal way, a procession of endless days. The brightness, color, heat, the sequence of scenes is a repeat of a forgotten day when the world spun on a similar golden race. Beyond the horizon's dark band lies another distant land. Yet over its strange valleys green, a familiar pattern shall be seen. For though a sharp, distant peak may rise to stand tall and bleak, and from it a valley swoop down, yet still, beyond it lies another hill. The sleeping, waking, the working, playing, growing and dying forces, channeled in unchanging courses, as man settles in another day, to walk the same well-trodden ways, in another time, with another face, but the same tragedies in a different space.
Wow, that is powerful. The same, what did you say, the tail end
same
of that.
Tragedies.
Yeah.
Same tragedies.
And I was thinking about, that hill. I was thinking about it as you did it. Well, well done. What do you hope people take away, Timothy, from Visions of Glory? People listening, they get your book. They can pick it up at any point. They can read it from any page, any poem. What do you hope they take away?
Well, I hope they take away the magic of that experience as you read this poem and you experience and interpret the emotions which jump out from you from the paper. So poetry is all about an experience. So I hope that this experience will touch their hearts and they'll be encouraged. And as they go through this, this will enrich their lives and adorn their lives and bring beauty into their lives.
Wow, what a beautiful sentiment. Will you do another one? Will you do another volume? Will you do another book?
Oh, yes, I will. I'll always write poetry. And, yes, I will do that. I would like to do something else as well. I would love to write a play so that I can see people act out what I have given them to act out like a puppet master, you know, but not completely, because they'll also interpret the play in their own way. Yeah, I'd love to do that. But I'll always write poetry.
Yeah, I can vision, I mean, I have a vision of you at the botanical gardens and just being so peaceful. It has to bring you peace, which is what I think you offer people who read the poems. It's a way to slow down and think about things.
Yes, and this enriches you and it settles your spirit and soothes you. And it reduces stress and experiencing that beauty as it impacts your mind refreshes you. And this is what it's all about, a lifting.
I like that. Hashtag, it settles your spirit. Timothy Tory, thank you so much for joining us on America Tonight. The name of the book is Visions of Glory. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you too, Kate. Thank you for having me on your program, and it's been a pleasure.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.